Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. You can check out our podcast if you miss any part of the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And a reminder, you do not want to miss the show tomorrow, especially the start of the show tomorrow. I can't really say more as of right now. Just a quick, hey, I told you, see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock. See you there. But it's 5 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock, we do this.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not my beat.
Ben Standig is with us, as the top story of the day is the Commanders' burgundy and gold scrimmage. Ben, who are you rooting for, the burgundy or the gold?
Well, we were joking, or I don't know if we were joking, but trying to gauge, like, if this was a real game, what would the point spread be? And I would have thought the Jaden Daniels side would have been close to 10, and I definitely would have lost. So,
yeah.
There you go.
He was on Team Burgundy, Team Gold won, correct?
Yeah, Team Burgundy scored 0 points.
Oof, not good.
The Gold team, with Sam Hartman and company facing the second team, defense had two touchdowns in the first half, so to speak, and they were the clear winner.
So, Ben, Anthony and I, in the last half hour of the show, went through an exercise where I thought it was like a fun intellectual exercise, and we actually like did a draft of the team. We pretended that we were Team Burgundy and Team Gold, and just like, hey, we were going to pick sides for an intra-squad scrimmage, and we're sitting in a room, and one of us is Joe Witt, and one of us is Cliff Kingsbury. Let's just alternate picks. Jaden obviously went first. This is not like who is the best player on their second best player on the team in real NFL football, but for the purposes of this intra-squad scrimmage, who would you have taken second?
Are we including Terry McLaurin?
No, we're taking out all the injured guys. So it had to be people that were eligible and on the field today.
I think I'd go Laramie Tunsil, because I don't know who else is a left tackle on this team right now. I mean, unless you're going to move Connerly or Coleman, but I'll go Laramie Tunsil.
Okay, that's a good pick. I went Bobby Wagner because I'm like, if you're going to have Jaden in the brains of the offense on one side, I'm going to take the brains on the other side and hope that Bobby just makes everyone better. But Laramie went third, and that is probably, in hindsight, I think that is probably the correct answer. One, I think at this point in their careers, Laramie is probably the better player. Left tackle is a positional value. And while I don't know who else is a Mike linebacker on this team, not having a left tackle, I did wind up having to put Trent Scott there. And that definitely has me holding my breath in our very fake scrimmage that is never going to happen in real life.
Yeah, no, I hear. When Dan Quinn first announced they were going to do this, I was thinking, oh, they're going to do a draft. Then I'm like, oh, wait, then I realize, oh, no, actually, this isn't about my entertainment. This is about preparing for the season. So, of course, you're going to have the offense stay together and the defense stay together, because that's the whole point of this. It's not just for, state, you know, S and giggles. So, it's a fun exercise. I've been debating if I'm going to do that on my podcast, and maybe you've just inspired me to try it myself, because I think it'd be a fun exercise.
It was a fun intellectual exercise. I highly recommend it in the off days to come. Okay, so enough about our hypothetical draft. What happened in the real scrimmage today? Like, what was the most interesting thing, whether it be the format, some actual action on the field? Like, what did you take out of this thing that Dan Quinn organized today, this burgundy and gold intra-squad scrimmage?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we don't see the first team offense against the first team defense every practice. The difference here is that it was a sustained situation. You know, that it wasn't exactly a true drive, like a pass catcher wasn't going to just keep running. They just stopped the play wherever they caught it kind of deal. But, you know, it was not just three or four plays and then you move on to the next group. They stayed with it. Jaden Daniels played the whole time and so on. In terms of the play, you know, I think Washington's defensive front was really the dominant force in this game. They were getting pressure up the middle from the outside. They were constantly, it's very, very rare to see Jaden Daniels look uncomfortable, and he did, I thought, here. But again, I'm not putting it on him. He's missing two starting guards because Brandon Coleman is still out, and obviously Sam Cosby's out. No Terry McLaurin, no Noah Brown. I'm sure you guys have talked plenty about the concern at the outside receivers if those guys aren't there. And so you put that together, and yeah, the burgundy side just could never get anything going, and the gold side with the first team defense, you know, like really played better. I don't know, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that the ceiling is raised on this group, but I think the floor definitely is up from where it was a year ago. Just a lot more bodies up front to throw at the situation, and I think that, for the positive perspective, I think that was a good sign.
Ben Standig, Last Man Standig, is both the podcast and the Substack. That's where you read and listen to his work with us here on the Hoffman Show for Not My Beat today. I mean, imagine Ben saying, oh, yeah, the dominant force on the field was the Commanders' defensive line a couple of months ago. How have you seen that group gel, generally speaking, over the last month or so of training camp here?
Yeah, I think they're trying guys out at different spots. You've seen Frankie Louvu play with his hands in the dirt. You've seen Dorrance Armstrong standing up, different combinations along the line. You know, again, I don't know that we can sit here and say they have like one truly, you know, dominant player up there. But Frankie Louvu obviously was, you know, his relentless energy was huge last year. He got an all-pro selection. You know, Deron Payne, the talent's there. We'll just have to see if he's able to, you know, get back to that 2022 form where he's getting, you know, 11 and a half sacks. Bobby Wagner, you mentioned, you know, the instincts, the intelligence that he brings to help sort of keep the whole group together. Now you add Von Miller, of course, Javon Kinlaw, Johnny Newton had looked, you know, pretty good. You saw in the preseason game, him being a disruptive presence. So, again, I think all of these pieces together just gives them more options depending on what is needed at any given moment. I think the run defense, I thought today, looked better as well. And there's no tackling, so it's all kind of relative. But, that's obviously the huge question mark following last year, you know, that we've all talked about the fact that they've gotten bigger up front, and that's a big help. So I think all these things give me more hope for this group. Again, I'm not saying they're going to be a top 10 defense, but they can just even get sort of middle of the pack-ish. If the offense is able to, you know, be a top 10 offense again, that's a good combination that they just simply didn't have last year.
So the other big story today is that Terry McLaurin was there and he talked face to face with Adam Peters on the sideline. I'm guessing nobody spilled to you exactly what was said, Ben, but like, what do we know about that conversation? One, if we were able to ascertain anything that was said or discussed, and two, is that the first time that those two men have talked, do we think? Like, do we think Terry and Adam have avoided each other as Terry's been around? Or is this just the first time that we think they've probably talked face-to-face in the view of other people?
Yeah, I think it's the first time they've probably talked in public where we are seeing things. So it's probably, I haven't seen them together since Terry started the hold-in. I'm sure they've run into each other in the building plenty. I'm sure they've talked, but, you know, they were talking here. Now, what did they talk about? I don't know. We'd like to think that they were having a reasonable conversation about the value of wide receivers and where Terry fits, and hopefully, you know, get the two sides closer together. They also could have just been discussing, you know, if they each saw Breaking Bad and what they make of, you know, Walter White's turn. Who knows what they were discussing? But I think my big takeaway is that they looked like two guys having a conversation. I didn't sense any animosity looking at it briefly. And this has been my thing this whole time with Terry, just being around him when he spoke for 30 minutes at that Eastern Motors commercial a few weeks ago, when he's returned for this hold-in. I don't get any sense that he's like angry or bitter or any of that. He clearly wants to get paid what he thinks he's earned, but that's different than saying, I can't stand these guys. I know he put in the trade request. That felt to me sort of negotiating playbook kind of, rather than like, yeah, I really desperately want to get out of here. He says, you know, he said, hey, I'm building my home here. So it's not like he really wants to leave. So that's sort of what I took it as, is like whatever is going on here. And I don't get the sense prior to today, at least, that there's been much movement on these talks, but at least in this case, again, it looks like there are people having a reasonable conversation, and considering we've had very little news to go on, that's something of a positive, but it doesn't mean that any deal's coming anytime soon.
Yeah. Dan was asked about Terry today, and the question was phrased, I believe, Ben, the way I interpreted it listening to the exchange, more about his ankle injury and the progress there and the way Dan answered it than anything contractual. But how, like, I think we all think that Terry's ankle hurts somewhere in the area of his wallet, that this is only so much of a real ankle injury. But it is a relevant factor in that if he's injured, like, he can very easily refuse to play. And if this obviously lingers into the regular season, you can't get fined if you're hurt for missing games. But ultimately, like, their doctors, I believe the way this works, would be the ones to clear him and take him off of PUP, and then they can obviously fine him for missing games if he is still refusing to play at that point. So was there any significance to the Dan Quinn answer that, hey, we'll see after this day off and like leading into the Bengals game where he is from an injury standpoint?
I don't think so. I mean, like you said, I've been pretty skeptical about the nature of this apparent injury that has been, I guess, lingering since the season ended, which was a long time ago. So I don't know about what to make of that. And Dan Quinn didn't really offer up too much. You know, he's hesitant, understandably. He's not going to get into the actual negotiations because that's Adam Peters' deal. And, you know, he doesn't want to say anything that McLaurin's side could potentially use as a positive in whatever talks they're having. I think what's getting to be interesting, though, is at what point does it become a risk to play him in week one, even if they get a deal done? You know, this is they play 17 games over 18 weeks. This is a marathon, not a sprint. So as much as we're talking about week one, well, you don't want him to go out there and then pull a muscle or a hamstring or something, and now all of a sudden it's a lingering issue that goes on for weeks, if not the season. So what is that timeline? They still have plenty of time before the season starts. He's not going to play here against the Bengals, we wouldn't think, right? So that would leave only one more preseason game, and typically the starters you wouldn't think would play in that one. Is he back for the joint practice against the Ravens? Maybe, but that's, you know, still only one practice. And, you know, at what point here does it become an issue potentially for week one? I think to me that's kind of like the timeline I'm looking at, along with, you know, is he going to get a deal done? But, I don't know when he's coming back, and I don't know the deal with his ankle, but yeah, to me, I start to wonder, you know, how much more time can pass before week one starts to come into question.
Ben Standing with us here on the Hoffman Show. And after the lackluster, to say the least, performance by the Commanders against the Patriots, and again, there's a bunch of reasons why that happened. The Patriots game plan some stuff, which teams never do in the preseason. It's like, yeah, okay, if you decided to play a different sport, a lot easier to run up the scoreboard that way. Good job, Mike Vrabel. Congrats on that. But after that, there is the talk of like, well, the Commanders could have at least played their starters more. And I feel like it is coming back around in vogue a little bit to play your starters more. What have the conversations been around or been like around Ashburn this week on the heels of that, when none of the starters played basically for the Commanders on Friday?
Yeah, you know, it's always a tricky deal. The players want to play. I think that's pretty clear. This is, you know, they're not saying, don't put me out there so I risk injury. They want to go. This is what they do. They understand the risks involved. It is typically more of management. Hey, we don't want to, you know, we're paying all this money for these guys. We want the product on the field when it matters, not for these other games. But as veteran players will always say, the only way to practice at playing football is to play football. So at some point they have got to do this. Now, I imagine the starters will play a little bit against the Bengals, but by a little bit, I mean like two series. I'm talking more like on the Jaden Daniels side of it. And that's, you know, two series might be one series too many, especially if they score right off the bat. You do need to get out there. I was talking to Bobby Wagner, or a couple of us were talking to Wagner after practice today, and he was saying how, you know, last year that first game against Tampa, right? So against Tampa? Yeah.
Yeah.
First game against Tampa, that, like, you know, they were kind of, you know, still sorting things out with each other because, you know, they hadn't, you know, done a ton of, like, live work. I think that's one of the things they liked about today, give them a little bit of live work, even if it wasn't, like, tackling. And that was off. And I asked him, like, was when you entered the league, you know, over a dozen years ago, was that the way it kind of was? He's like, no, because, you know, we can still, like, take people to the ground in practice. So this is just the change in the NFL that teams are, you know, basically using weeks one and two to quasi preseason games, but the games count. So that's the tough part, and they've got to, you know, find ways to get moving right off the bat. Every team has the same issues. It's just every team handles it slightly differently than the other ones. I don't know if there's any true best answer, best pass,
best practice.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, but you know, it does seem like the more you do it, the better off you'll be.
For sure. I would also question how much of Quinn's decision-making goes into what he's going to see on the other side. Like, we know, because the Bengals have announced this, because, like, how much they play their starters has been a huge story in Cincinnati, as I'm sure you well know, with the slow starts the Bengals have had the last couple of years. And so this year, Ja'Marr Chase was very vocal in training camp and was like, yeah, we're going to play. And Zach Taylor, you know, I think that had already been decided. He's like, yeah, our starters are going to play a little bit more because we can't afford to start as slowly as we have. And so knowing that you're going to see the Bengals ones, to me, that would entice me to play my starters more. I was stunned. And maybe that's my fault for not paying attention to media out of New England last week. I couldn't believe Vrabel was playing his starters when it's week one and they just had a joint practice. It's like, wait, you just practiced against these guys the other day. I thought the reason you do the joint practice is so that you don't have to play in the game where your quarterback isn't wearing a special jersey. So how much do you think that Quinn is going to, you know, look at what Zach Taylor is doing and then maybe have a conversation with Harbaugh when they do the joint and then a game against Baltimore about kind of being on the same page so that everybody understands if we play our guys, this is what they're getting into. If we don't play our guys, this is what we're missing out on.
Yeah, I don't know how much what the other team does is going to matter. I mean, look, last year, as we recall, Jaden Daniels played in the first preseason game against the Jets. That was the game where he had the famous audible out of a you know, short play into a 41-yard bomb to De'Ami Brown, and to me that was the play that signaled, oh wow, this kid really does understand it and has the goods. But they played him that game, right? They didn't, you know, they played, and he was not there by himself. Other starters were too. So it depends on the circumstances. You know, Mike Vrabel's coming into a new job. Maybe he wants to jumpstart that team that's been miserable. And Dan Quinn's like, hey, we were pretty good last year. Let's just get to the season healthy and go from there.
I think that totally is valid and makes sense. And, you know, last year in that game, that first game, you know, I think like Terry was like the one guy who didn't play because he kind of earned it. And then now it's like, yeah, we actually got a bunch of guys we're pretty confident in. So very, very different deal. Anything else you're looking for, Ben? Last question here as we head into, they have the off day tomorrow and then a couple of practices on the way into Cincinnati. Anything else that you're really looking forward to or that you're looking forward to hearing on Quinn from over this next 72 hours, let's call it?
You know, is there any progress in some of these injuries? You know, Brandon Coleman's not out there today. He's not wearing a brace or anything. Not practicing. So, you know, is he going to be back anytime soon? I think some of those things are kind of the bigger deal. And look, the Bengals, I want to see Ja'Marr Chase and Higgins against Lattimore and Amos. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
That is going to be a lot of fun. Ben Standig, Last Man Standig, is the Substack and the podcast. Check him out there. Ben, appreciate your time as always. Sir, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Ben Standig with us here on the Hoffman Show. to me, you know, just to kind of reiterate a point I made the other day, Anthony, when thinking about the Commanders preseason starters discussion, I'm perfectly fine with what they did week one because of two things. One, the joint practice. Two, their injury situation. And it's not so much, oh, they've got some injuries, let's make sure we don't get more, although that is a factor. It's also, these guys hopefully aren't going to play together that much in the regular season anyway. Like, what are we actually practicing? Half-baked football? No. Like, our guys are not available, so let's make sure that we, like, if we're going to try to play our guys to build some chemistry, we have to have the guys out there. And with no Terry, Tunsil, well, I guess you probably would not play Tunsil anyway. Some of the other guys that were banged up on the O-line, Coleman. You know, same thing on defense. You had some guys that were probably not going to play no matter what. I just, at that point, what's the payoff? And if the risk side of risk-reward is elevated and the reward side is mitigated, you don't take the risk. Like, that's kind of how that equation works.
No, I think that makes perfect sense.
So we'll see, especially if we can get some of these injured guys back. If you're the Commanders, you're like, okay, now we can play some of our guys. But if they're banged up again, I mean, nobody plays their guys in the third preseason game. I don't necessarily think that's the right move, if I'm being honest, because they have the bye week now between week three of the preseason and the regular season. I realize you have less time if a guy gets hurt with a 2-week injury, right? So there's a risk of moving later, but I kind of want that. I don't want the ramp up to end too early. So they could theoretically play some guys against Baltimore, although they do have the joint practice against Baltimore that will probably take up most of their attention. All right, when we get back, this was a huge story that broke last night, and if it goes to its full ending, it's the kind of thing that could cause real problems at the NFL league office for Roger Goodell. Why a lawsuit in Nevada filed by John Gruden has the NFL very scared, and why it all ties back to Daniel M. Snyder. Don Van Natta joins us next.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
The Hoffman Show is back on the Team 980. We are, of course, streaming on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn as well. And if you're watching us on YouTube at the Team 980, you see our old friend Don Van Natta Jr., the chief investigative reporter at ESPN. Another story for you, Don. This one feels like a pretty big one that you dropped last night, that John Gruden has won his hearing in the Nevada Supreme Court that will open up the path to discovery, an investigative reporter's favorite word, discovery, in his case against the NFL. This all stems back to his emails that got him fired as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. There is a DC tie here, as many of those emails went to Bruce Allen, of all people. A lot of this happening while he was a commentator for ESPN doing Monday Night Football, discovered years later, and everyone remembers what happened then. So with that, Don, welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the saga, the drama of the NFL. It never stops.
Thank you, Craig. Great to be with you. Good to see you today.
Good to have you. So tell us kind of what happened here. Like, on a baseline level, what happened yesterday? What was being argued? What was decided? And then we can get into the multiple paths that appear before us to go forward.
Yeah, this was a resounding victory for John Gruden by the Nevada Supreme Court. The Nevada Supreme Court had a three-judge panel back within the last year that actually ruled for the league, that said that the lawsuit that was filed by Gruden against Roger Goodell and the National Football League, alleging that they leaked these emails that cost him his job as head coach of the Raiders back in 2021, initially this three-judge panel, by a 2-1 vote, ruled for the NFL. And said that that lawsuit can be decided behind closed doors by an arbitrator. We know in the past that that's pretty much a kangaroo court for the National Football League. But then Gruden's lawyers asked for all seven justices of the Nevada Supreme Court to hear the case. And that's what happened in the decision yesterday by a 5-2 vote. So the four new justices that heard this new case all sided with Gruden and decided that, in fact, this will go to open court. There will be discovery. There'll be no arbitration. And basically, the justices said that because Gruden, all these emails were sent to Bruce Allen and to others back in 2011, while Gruden was working for ESPN as a commentator on Monday Night Football, he wasn't working for the National Football League. So there's no way that Roger Goodell should be allowed to put this dispute in front of arbitration. And that's what the justices in Nevada decided. Again, a resounding victory for John Gruden. It opens up the floodgates for information, including those 650,000 emails that were part of the Beth Wilkinson investigation. Everybody in DC knows that. I'm Dan Snyder. All of that information now is fair game under discovery. And so it is a very, very big win. It's very rare when a dispute like this, Craig, in the National Football League, isn't decided behind closed doors in arbitration and goes to open court. There's not many, many times in the history of the NFL this has even happened. So this is a historic victory for John Gruden and for openness and for discovery that we'll see here in the coming months.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it seems fairly straightforward on that realm, right? That you can't go, like, yes, if you have a dispute with your employer in a contract, you often waive the right to sue them and say this will be resolved in arbitration, but it didn't work for them, nor any of their subsidiaries, aka a team at the time. We get into the complications of the NFL and the ESPN agreement that was just signed. You know, maybe Roger Goodell would have something to say about that a different day. But clearly in 2011, not the case. And so this goes there. So what, just to clarify, Don, this does not say that the NFL is guilty here. This did not say, right, like, hey, this, you guys did leak the email. It is just now the path is clear to find out what other obstacles may remain before that actually happens. Like, what happens next?
That's right. What happens next now, really the ball is in the league's court. And we reported, you know, just about not lunchtime today, a league spokesman told me that the league intends to seek a rehearing before the Nevada Supreme Court. They're going to petition for all seven justices to hear the case again. That's likely to fail since it was such a resounding victory for Gruden. And then the final option that the league has is to appeal before the United States Supreme Court. I expect that will happen. So that will delay things, quite a bit. Could delay it for a matter of months. But if the Supreme Court decides not to hear the case, or they decide to hear the case and they rule for Gruden, then we'll be back to where we started. And that is, this petition, this lawsuit filed by Gruden against Goodell and the National Football League, that they purposefully leaked these emails against Gruden with the intention of really knocking him out of his job while he was coach of the Raiders back in the fall of 2021. Remember, it was in mid-season when this happened. These leaks were to the Wall Street Journal and to the New York Times over a course of just 3 days. And Gruden believes, and his lawyers believe, that Goodell was behind it. That will then go to open court. There'll be discovery. And, you know, we'll be able to sit in open court and hear this discussion, unless, of course, there's a settlement. And I'm sure that's an area you want to discuss.
Yes. Don Van Natta is with us, ESPN investigative reporter, talking about the John Gruden NFL story that came down yesterday, the Nevada Supreme Court ruling in favor of Gruden that his case can continue and go into open court, that is not going to be settled by discovery. So if I'm the NFL, the last thing I want is discovery, especially knowing some of the other far-reaching implications here. All the things that you have reported on that we've had you on the show for these past couple of years, all of a sudden, we can learn a lot more about that. Like, the Gruden thing itself is a massive story, not to mitigate that. But for our audience, Don, this could also open up some of the communications about the minority ownership situation in Washington and how that was decided in the favor of Dan Snyder and many other Dan Snyder things. And while I think a lot of the audience is like, I don't care anymore, I want to move on, like Jaden Daniels is awesome, Josh Harris is awesome, there is obviously, I do think, hey audience, come back, there's a chance to dump on Dan Snyder again. So I guess the question I have on the Washington piece of that is why. We can get to that in a second, but what are the chances that Gruden and the NFL settle and that door gets shut before we can even get to the possibility?
Well, we can only take John Gruden at his word. You may remember, Craig, 2 years ago, Seth Wickersham, my colleague at ESPN, and I did a deep dive story into the whole backstory of these leaks and what exactly happened. And we found evidence that Dan Snyder and his law firm was potentially involved in some of the leaking to try to curry favor with Roger Goodell. That Goodell, there was suspicions, had leaked some of these and had motives to do so because Gruden was so critical of Goodell in some of the emails that actually were leaked and that led to Gruden losing his job, resigning under pressure with Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders. Desiree Perez, who's somebody who works at Roc Nation, the Jay-Z firm. Desiree Perez was somebody who was on the Commanders board, very close to Snyder and also working for the league. We raised some questions about her. And in our story, I should be clear to your audience, everybody denied leaking. The Snyder people, Goodell, Roc Nation, everyone denied leaking. Obviously, somebody did. We believe from our reporting that multiple people had incentive to leak those emails. And so, you know, that's basically what Gruden is trying to find out. Now, to your question about a settlement, I can only take Gruden at his word. In that story 2 years ago, he told associates that we quoted that he has no interest in settling, not for any number. That he's quite vivid in his language and says that he wants to burn the league down. He is so angry at Roger Goodell for costing him his coaching career, in his mind, that no number would be high enough for him to settle. Now, as we know, everybody has a price. I think reasonably, if the number is $40, $50, $60 million, who knows, $100 million, that might be too much money for Gruden to leave on the table. But I do believe there will be, if in fact the Supreme Court doesn't take this case and it moves quickly toward discovery, I'll be stunned if there's not some serious negotiations going on about a number, and it could get high enough that tempts even Gruden. Although he has said, and his lawyers have said, they are in no mood to settle and they want to take this case into discovery and into open court to get the truth.
Yeah, it's probably worth mentioning, too, for those that are not as online, like Gruden has reemerged, which that's, again, a different discussion about like whether he should, considering what was in those emails. Like, John Gruden is no hero here based off of the content there, but he has come back into public life. Barstool Sports has been a big part of that. They have kind of given him a platform, and like, the man is excellent at talking about football. Like, what he does, he is very good at. He's also been around in some training camps, and so I also would wonder if that went to court, if the league would argue, if they lost even, like the damages, like, we didn't ruin his career. Look, he still has a career, which, if Gruden is after money, might be better to settle anyway. So like, that gets into a lot of the legalese. Can we circle back though to the Washington part of this? Like, why, you touched on it briefly, but can we expound on why the Commander's investigations, the Wilkinson report, all of that is a part of this and what we could learn about Goodell, Snyder, their relationship from this ruling?
Yeah, it's a great question. We only know about these emails that John Gruden sent, and he uses racist language. It's completely offensive language that he used in these emails that he sent to Bruce Allen back in 2011 about Demoris Smith, the then executive director of the National Football League Players Association, about Roger Goodell and other people, only because that these were part of 650,000 emails that were scooped up in the Beth Wilkinson investigation of Dan Snyder. Now, that investigation was done on behalf of the league, and the only emails of all of those 650,000 that were leaked to the media were written by John Gruden. And so Gruden's point is, well, that's completely unfair, and who leaked them, and with what motive? And if there is discovery, Craig, to your excellent question, there are all sorts of secrets, we believe, in the media buried in those emails. These are emails that Bruce Allen sent to league officials, including Jeff Pasch, the general counsel of the NFL, to Roger Goodell, to other owners. There could be all sorts of secrets about league business buried in there. There's probably emails. Now, I know Dan Snyder didn't send emails. I mean, I know that he was sort of allergic to that. So I don't know if we would see any Snyder emails, but we could see a lot of emails that Bruce Allen sent about Snyder business and about, as you pointed out, the minority partners who, as we've reported, you know, were clashing viciously with Dan Snyder over all sorts of issues, including the way Snyder was spending money that the partners felt was inappropriate. So this is really a treasure trove of NFL secrets that now the Nevada Supreme Court pretty resoundingly has open the floodgates on, and we'll find out, I think, a lot of the backstory of what Dan Snyder was doing, because most of these are Bruce Allen and Commander's emails to people all over the league.
Don Van Natta, ESPN, with us. So, Don, I don't want to take for granted the process here that you would go through as a journalist. And, like, it would make sense that, you know, the opposing counsel, like the two sides, like they need to have equal access to evidence. Why do you as a reporter all of a sudden, like, why is this a treasure trove that you have access to?
Well, as soon as the discovery process begins, and presumably what will be discovered will not be under seal. Now, some of it might be under seal, and, you know, one side, presumably the NFL, might petition the court to put some things under seal. Now, this is a Nevada state court at the district court level that if this discovery begins, so there'll be a judge there making these decisions. But anything that's public is fair game for us. It's out in the open to look at. A lot of journalism, you know, that we do, that investigative reporters do, we get our hands on, you know, documents and things that are produced in court cases. And most, as I said earlier, of the NFL's cases over the years are decided by arbitrators behind closed doors. They're sealed documents that we don't get. Now, we've gotten the benefit of having even sealed documents in some arbitration things that have been leaked to us, including the dispute between Dan Snyder and his minority partners. I got my hands on some secret documents there a couple of years ago, but it's very, very hard to get. It's much better for journalists and for the public for a case like this to be heard in open court with open discovery, with documents that will be on a docket that we'll be able to, you know, review and report on.
Don Van Natta, ESPN. You can read the full story at ESPN.com, and I'm sure there will be more follow-ups in the days to come. That tends to be, after you bust a big one, Don, or something big happens in a story you've been following, there tends to be a trickle out, as we saw last week. I joked with Kalen. Kalen Kaler has been on with us on the NFLPA side, because I was in and out a ton of July, and it felt like every time I was on the show in July, so was Kalen. So that is how that went. So, we'll see what else drops. Keep your eyes peeled on ESPN.com for more from Don on this particular story. DVN, thank you, sir. Appreciate you always.
Thanks, Craig. Great to be with you.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut, an artist, an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
It's the Hoffman Show. I think I know how to turn on my microphone by now. Jesus. On the Team 980, always live as well on the Odyssey app. Also, iHeartRadio and TuneIn. Miss any part of the show, check it out. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Again, pop this reminder in the show a couple of times today, but you definitely do not want to miss the start of the show tomorrow. I would say 5 o'clock tomorrow is also going to be very entertaining. Anthony, that does mean I just confirmed the guest for tomorrow, and he is very excited.
Uh-oh.
You know who it is, right?
I think.
I'm going to cover my mouth so no one can read my lips.
Yeah.
The text I just got has me a little terrified.
Oh, man. What did he say?
I'll tell you in the break.
Okay.
Tell you in the break. So tomorrow, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Don't miss the show tomorrow. The whole darn thing. As for right now, Anthony, it's time for a weekend in review, brought to you by
Craig. After 3 years and 2 months,
we got one.
Really?
No.
I was about to say you got me. I was about to say, hold on, this is news to me.
Nobody
knows.
All right, we take a look at what else happened this weekend. Beyond the Commanders, we have spent most of Monday and most of Tuesday discussing. Big weekend for the old Sticks, Anthony. Nice win the other day against Dallas. Not a good first half. Sonia Citron went bananas in the second half. Also had nice contributions from Alicia Clark and J.C. Sheldon, the new additions. And, of course, the highlight was Kiki Iriafin's 23 points. And right now, things I would say are going quite well for the Mystics on multiple fronts. Again, there are two good options at the end of the season. Either they make the playoffs, yay, winning, or they miss out on the playoffs and they're in the lottery. And that is better for the draft position this year because of the two expansion teams coming in. So if you make the playoffs, you are probably pick 8, depending on how you do. If you miss the playoffs, you are pick 5, or better, if you win the lottery, the W has a lottery for their top 2 spots. However, they made that trade a couple of weeks ago, or last week, God, time is a flat circle, with Seattle, and Seattle has lost 5 straight games, Anthony. So they are currently behind Golden State in the standings, and there is a chance that the Mystics, if they were to miss the playoffs, and Seattle would miss the playoffs, that they would actually have 2 lottery picks because Seattle is currently behind Golden State by half a game. They are a half game ahead of the LA Sparks. Those two teams, I believe, play at some point this week. The Sparks have won 8 of 10. So either the Mystics are going to make... like, there's almost no scenario right now. I mean, I guess Golden State and LA could fall and Washington and Seattle could rise. But there is almost no situation right now where the Mystics don't wind up with a lottery pick. That would be cool.
Man, it's getting juicy, man. And I'm happy to see the Sparks doing what they're doing because, again, I think their record definitely doesn't indicate just how good that team is. Like, they got off to a super slow start, and they've been rolling since. Like, even going into the WNBA break where they beat the brakes out of us. And then also
– I was at that game in Los Angeles. they, by the way, Sparks in town this weekend. The next game for the Mystics is tomorrow night against the Valkyries. So these teams all playing each other. The Sparks are here. A week later, Seattle's here for a head-to-head matchup. So a lot of these teams that are fighting for that those final few playoff spots are actually going head-to-head over the next couple of weeks. So it's going to be a fun final 3 weeks, 4 weeks or so of the WNBA season. Other than that, you know, still Lynx playing really well without Nafisa Collier. The MVP race is tightening because Alyssa Thomas has continued to be outstanding. Sabrina Ionescu might have something to say about the MVP race, the way she's playing with the Liberty holding on to that two seed. So a lot of stuff happening around the W. Major League Baseball this weekend, the old Nationals. At least it wasn't as embarrassing all the time, Anthony, I guess is what the positive is. On that front, they actually won 2 of 3 on the weekend against the Giants. So that's good. 4-2, 8-0. And then got back to not winning baseball games last night, a 7-4 loss. But I just think, like, when you were on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 game losing streak, and you've lost, let's see, that's 8, 9, 10. You lost 9 of 10. You need mentally to pull out of that. And I'm glad the Nationals, like, at least got out of the thickest of the deepest, darkest depths of their losing. But it has obviously been there hasn't been a lot of change in the results since the Davey Martinez firing. There is definitely going to be a long look by a lot of different people in the organization this offseason. But that is, we're reviewing what happened this weekend, and that's what happened with the Nationals this weekend.
Yeah, that cupboard is bare over there, man. Like, we got some talent, but, like, it ain't enough.
It is.
We got some work to do, man.
Most certainly not enough. Speaking of not enough, this was a frustrating game for the Washington Spirit over the weekend. NWSL action. It was their rivalry weekend across the league. And in New York, or I should say in New Jersey, where Gotham plays, the Spirit went up a player about 30 minutes into the game, Anthony. That is something that is typically good. We got an hour to score more than one goal than the other team. Didn't score any. Gotham did a great job. 0-0 draw. And I just think that is, like, a fascinating thing as a sport. So, like, Trinity Rodman, one of the best players on the planet, is running around out there. Croy Bethune, one of the best players on the planet, running around out there. You got 11 players on a championship team against another team that is also really good, like championship caliber, but they only have 10. And this sport says, hey, 11 versus 10, you guys can survive for basically a full game. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, was Gotham just very defensive? Did they have everybody back? Or could we just not score, like, at all?
They missed a couple opportunities, and I do think that we dominated possession. Spirit dominated possession. And just, like, couldn't break through. And that's something you can kind of do, right? Like, defensively, if you typically have an attacker who's not super involved in your defense, so you kind of have a 10-player defense anyway or a 9-player, you can always just pull an extra player back. It's going to take some bite out of your attack going forward. But if you're down a player, you're probably playing, like, can we draw? Can we not give up a goal? And if we can catch them on a counterattack and get in, like, a one-on-one situation, which they almost did at the end. Aubrey Kingsbury, a great save at the end. But, yeah, that's not the most exciting electric soccer that the Gwirls have played.
Yeah, not at all.
Not at all. All right, when we get back, it's pick six at six time. Dan Quinn talking about a whole lot before today's scrimmage, some things that we picked up from after. We will discuss next on the Team 980.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.